Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Mem Gimel. We're holding the top line of the Amud at the end of the line where the Gemara begins, Omar Lei V'Hotnan. What is this Omar Lei V'Hotnan? So let's just go back for a moment to Mem Beis, Amud Beis, the last few lines. Where the Gemara told us a story that Reb Avo was being carried by Reb Nochum Shamei, Reb Nochum his Shamath. That's five lines from the bottom of the Amud. And Reb Nochum figured, since I'm helping out my Rebbe and I have him all to myself, this is the perfect time to ask him about various halachas. And he asked him, what's the din if you have two mishnayos? One's a machloikis, one's a stam. One's a stam, one's a machloikis. And then two lines from the bottom of the Amud, he asked him, what about stamma de masnisa? What happens if you have a mishnah where there is no machloikis? Jeff, were two lines from the bottom of Mem Beis Amud Beis. Says the Gemara, asked Reb Nochum to Reb Avohu, if you have a Stam Mishnah means that there is no machloikis. It's, in a sense, unanimous or anonymous, depending which way you look at it. Machloikis is a braisa, but there's a braisa with that very halacha is a machloikis. Mai, what do we do? What's the halacha? Omalei, halacha kistam, we paskin like the Stam Mishnah. We ignore the fact that we have a braisa with a machloikis. We pass them like the Stam Mishnah. Okay, so now on to Mem Gimel Omer Aleph. Omer Lei top line, Vatanan. I will show you a Stam Mishnah. Where is this Stam Mishnah? A Mishnah Masechtas Kalim, where we talk a little bit about Tumah Vitahara. And specifically, we speak about a Masreik Shel Pishtan. A Masreik is a comb which is used to comb out flax, to separate the fibers, and to remove any psoles, any dirt. Because you are manufacturing from the flax, you're manufacturing linen. So for that purpose, you need such a masrik, such a comb. The Rambam tells us that comb, the frame of the comb, was made out of wood. However, the teeth of the comb were made out of metal. So of course, metal is mekabel tumah. And the question is, when is this considered to be a kli, which is mekabel tumah? And when is it considered to be broken, where it's no longer mekabel tumah? So the Mishnah tells us, you have this masrik shel pishtan. This is a comb which is used for flax. Shenitlu shinov, some of the teeth fell out of the comb. V'nishtayru boishtayim, but you have at least two of the teeth remaining, and those two teeth are together. Tameyaz, the comb retains its status as a kli, which is mekabel tumah. What's the reason why, says Rashi on the third line, the chozul amiltzei. Although presumably the comb started off with 10 or 20 teeth, as long as you have two teeth left, it still does a job. May not be perfect, but at least it works, and therefore it retains a din of being mekabel tumah. The achas, however, if you only have one tooth left in the entire comb, tahira, it's tahir, because Rashi says, le chozul amidi. It's worthless. You cannot use a comb with only one tooth in it. What happens if you have the individual teeth which have fallen out and you have those? They are mekabel tumah. Why are they mekabel tumah? Explains Rashi. Because you can go and use them for another use, not for combing, but for instance, you can use it for, Rashi says on the fifth line, shiruya lener. What happens if you have candles which have burned out and you have some residue of the candle, you have the wick, you have some of the remaining oil on the bottom or what have you, and you want to clean it out, like for those of you that have Hanukkah lecht that you use with oil. So every night the next day you have to clean it out. So you can go and use one of those teeth as if it was like a toothpick or like a needle. And you can use it for that purpose to go and clean it out. So therefore, since it retains utility, it is mekabel tumah. For that matter, Rashi says you can also use it if you want to use it to fashion a hook. These are strong enough teeth that you can go and bang it into the wall, and then you can go and put some garments on it, stretch out a towel, and the like. What happens if you have a masrik shel tzemer, which is a different form of comb, which you're using for straightening out and combing new tzemer wool from after you shore the wool from the back of the sheep. You go and use it to straighten it out and again to remove some of the impurities. And here too, shenitlu shinav. If some of the teeth are missing, what type? Achas mi bein tayim. Rashi says that if you have three teeth which are close to one another, and one of the teeth in the middle was taken away, so you only have two teeth, and the two teeth are separated by this empty space where there used to be a tooth, then it's tohar, because it loses its utility. It really is no longer worthwhile to use this as a comb. That's why it's tohar. But nishtayru boy gimel b'mokem echad, if you have three remaining together in one place, then it's tameh, then it does a good job. The Gemara is going to ask shortly that l'chayra this is not consistent, because we started off that you have three teeth, and one of the teeth was missing in the middle, it's tahar, which is mashma, that if you at least had two teeth together, it would work. And now you're saying, no, it's got to have three teeth together to work. So Gemara is going to ask that question in another few lines. They just bring it up now, so it'll be easier to understand later. What happens if you have three teeth together, which we just said is tummy, but one of the three teeth is the very outer tooth which forms part of the frame? In other words, just like our combs that we use on our heads for our hair, for those of us that still have some hair that you can use a comb with. So the very outside teeth, those ones are usually much thicker than the teeth inside the frame that come out of the middle of the comb. Usually those really don't have any function. If you try to use those to go and comb, they don't really do the trick. It's the inner ones, they do the trick. So therefore, that's why the Gemara says, if one of the three is that outer tooth, then it's tohar, because that really doesn't add to the functionality of this comb. Nitlu beis. What happens if two are removed? Vason lemalaket, and you put the two together to use as a tweezers, then tameos, because now again it has a new functionality, you use it as a tweezers. Achas, what happens if one fell out of the comb? Vihiskina lener oilemituach, same as we had before, and you're using this one to clean out a nair from its wick or whatever residue is inside the bottom of the nair. Oilemituach, you're going to use it as a hook, banging it into the wall and then stretching or hanging a towel or whatever from it, then tameya. And once again, the Gemara is going to ask, this seems to be the identical halacha that we had on the fourth line of the Gemara, where it said, v'kulan shenitlu achas, achas b'fnei atzman tameyos. And Rashi explained, because you can use it for a ner or for spreading out begodim, why over there did it just simply say, nitlu achas, achas? And here it says, that nitla achas the hiskina l'ner, you had to go and fashion it for a ner omituch. Mashma, that you had to go and do something with it, not just take it and use it for the ner, you had to go and somehow improve upon it. Imar is going to ask that question as well in another few lines. Anyway, this is the end of the Mishnah in Masechtas Kelim. And as you note, there is no one man d'yama who is cited or quoted. So we would call this a stam Mishnah. The kayim alon de'en aloch kois a Mishnah. And our halacha is that we do not paskin like that Mishnah. I don't understand why. Didn't Rav Avoh just tell Rav Nachum that we paskin like a stam Mishnah? And the Chazon Ish adds that, in fact, if you look up the Tosefta in Masechtas Kelim, you have over there a machloikis in the Braisa. And we said two lines from the bottom of Mem Beis Omid Beis, that when you have a stam Mishnah, and a machloikis in the Braisa said, Rav Avoh, we paskin like the stam Mishnah. Here, however, we have a stam Mishnah, and there's a machloikis in the Braisa. We do not paskin like that Mishnah. Oy vavoy, is choyra zeya shver on Rav Avoh. Omale, said Rav Avoh, answered Rav Nochem, bar minodahi. This is an exception to the rule. Why? Rabbi Yochem Rish Lachish, Jamar Travayu, zu ain a Mishnah. Rabbi Yochem Rish said the Mishnah that we just quoted, it's mistaken. It's just wrong. Since it's wrong, push the delete button, take it out of the Mishnayos. Those of you that are learning Masechtas Kelim, which I believe, if I'm not mistaken, is 30 brokim, it'll make your life a little bit easier to have one Mishnah less to learn. Because ain't a Mishnah, this is a good Mishnah. No, I bazaar, then there's no kasha. It's not a Mishnah, it's not a Mishnah. Frankly, more my time. I mean, how do you just look at a Mishnah and say it's not a Mishnah? There's got to be a good reason for it. It's not that Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish woke up one morning and think, yeah, it's not a Mishnah. Just leave it out. There's got to be a reason for it. Because if you look at the Mishnah, which we just quoted, you'll see there's an internal inconsistency. And we already spelled it out as we were learning the Mishnah. Diktoni, it says in the Sefer, although the Gemara says Kasha Reisha L'Seifa, it really means in the Sefer itself, there's a Kasha between the beginning of the Sefer and the end of the Sefer. Diktoni, it says in the Mishnah, Shel Tzemer, if you have a comb which is used with wool, Shinitlu Shina of Achas Mubintayim, where one of the teeth in between three teeth, you had three teeth altogether, the middle one was missing, so you have the outer two teeth, it's Tahar. Because it loses its functionality, you really can't use it anymore for a comb. What happens if two teeth were together as one in one place? Then you could still use it. It's only because you have this big space between the two teeth from the right and from the left. But if you had two teeth together, it's mashma that it would still be a functioning comb, and therefore it would be tamei. V'hadatani, in the next line it says, nishtayru b'gimel tamei. If you have three remaining, it's tamei. It's mashma gimel in shtayim lai. And therefore, we see that this Mishnah obviously has a faulty text, and therefore, push the delete button, ain't a Mishnah. Azay zot, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Frank Timara, is that really so schwer? Umay kusha. Dilma hobi gaviyasa, hobi briyasa. Maybe it really depends on which teeth we're talking about. And Rashi tells us, Rashi has two pshatim, but Rashi favors the second pshat. And Rashi says that if you look at the combs which are used in connection with wool, you'll see that it has two layers or two levels of teeth. You have the outer ones and you have the inner ones. The outer ones are meant to do the actual combing, to go and separate between the various strands and threads and pieces of wool. And the other one is to hold it in place so that the wool doesn't fall to the ground. The ones that are on the outside, which are the major ones, there you have to have three teeth because the purpose of a comb, of course, is to comb it. The inner ones, which are the smaller ones, they are there for the purpose of just holding on to the wool that it shouldn't go in plots and fall to the ground. So for that, even two is enough because two of them can hold it in place. Let's take a quick look at the Rashi. Rashi is about three or four lines lower than where we are in the Gemara. And the Rashi begins in soft font, Lamed Aleph, which means Lishna Achrina. That's the second pshat. V'u'ikr, this is the important, this is the real pshat, says Rashi. The Gaviyasa v'Briyasa. What does that mean? Gaviyasa means the inner teeth. Briyasa means the outer teeth. Shtei shurois shinayim yesh l'masrik shel tzemer. You have two rows of teeth. Chitzonis and Pinimiois, the outer ones and the inner ones. Hachitzonis, Ikra Malacha Taliya Behen. Those are the real teeth of the comb. Those are the real teeth that do the job. Upinimiois, the inner ones, that's Liklet HaTzemer, Shlo Yipa. That's really just to hold on to the Tzemer, it shouldn't fall. The Hilkach, Bechitzonis, Tzorach Gimel, the Mokim Echad. Then you need three, because that's the job of the comb to comb it. If you only have two teeth, it doesn't do the work. If you have three, it works. But Upinimiois, since the job of the pinimios is just really to hold on to the wool so that it shouldn't slip out, it shouldn't slip down. No, dying the base, it's enough for two. So being that that's such an easy teretz, why does Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish say, ain't a Mishnah? Says Imo, you're right. That's not the reason why we say the Mishnah is faulty. El Mihach, I have another kasha. Diktoni, we learned in the Mishnah. At the top in the ratio by the Masrik Shel Pishtan, the kulin shenitlu achas achas bifni atzman. If any of the teeth fell out and each one is on its own, tmeos, they still retain a din of a kli hamekabel tum. Why? As we said before, even the ner to go and kratz out, to scratch out the residue, a wick, which happens to be inside a candle, inside the menorah. So it does a good job, like a toothpick, like a needle, to go and remove the residue. Or you can use it as a hook to hang up a towel or the like. So it says over here, kulin shenitlu achas achas, and the answer is tmeos. The avakav lo yiskina, it doesn't say anything about that you had to go and fashion it. into such a wick remover or in such a hook. It was automatic. A tooth falls out, you use it for those purposes. Ema seifa, but by the masrik shell, tzemer, it says, achas v'hiskina lener, oyle mituach tmei. It's hiskina in lo, hiskina lo. It's only because you fashioned. The Gemara doesn't say what type of fashioning you have to do. Maybe you have to scrape it a little bit. Maybe you have to add something here. Make it shorter, make it longer. But you have to do something to make this ro'oi for ner or mituach. And that being the case, why does the Reisha say you don't have to? And the Sefer said you do have to. Oh, so you see that this Mishnah is faulty. Push the delete button. Rabbayu, my kushas. I don't understand what's so shver. Maybe it's talking about that when one of the teeth fell out, it fell out with a portion of the frame of the comb. Remember, we said the Rambam explains that these combs, from the outside, the frame was made out of wood, and the teeth were made out of metal. So it, when the metal tooth fell out, it fell off together with ashtikal, a little piece of the frame of the wood. No, in such a case, I can see why you can use this more easily than if you just had a tooth falling out on its own, which presumably can easily slip out and fall down. If you have such a tap to it, especially if you're using it for a hook to go and put into the wall, it's much easier to hook something on it, a shmata, a towel, a jacket, or whatever you're hanging on the hook, if it has a little bit, an end to the top, not just that it should be flat. It should have a katai. Katai means like a handle on top. So the Gemara, maybe that's the reason why the Reish is talking about that the individual tooth fell out mitas ashtikel handle, and therefore you don't have to fashion it into a new kli to remove the residue from the menorah or as a hook. Masha Enkein, the safest is talking about b'loy katai, that in fact it fell off without the handle on top. So it was just a plain tooth. To be able to use that properly, then maybe you have to add a shtickel handle on top. You have to do something with it. So that's a very easy teret. Amra Papa, a Papa says, I have another teret. Umay kusha, bedilma hobi ketinta hobi alimta. After all, why does the Mishnah tell us about two separate types of combs? Why don't we just talk about one comb? So apparently, there's a difference between the combs that they used for the flax and those that they used for the tzemer. One, perhaps the teeth were thicker, and the other, the teeth were thinner. Obviously, it depends on the fibers and what you're trying to accomplish with the comb. And so therefore, that part of the Mishnah that said that you have to go and fashion it and you have to do something with it, that's talking about that it was a very thin tooth of the comb. And if you don't do anything with it, maybe it'll fall out of your fingers. Maybe you can't get a good grip on it for purposes of either cleaning out the residue from the menorah or for putting it into the wall. After all, it's so flimsy. Masha Enkein, the other case is talking about a balimta. These were very, very thick teeth. And by definition, this was easy to handle and to hold on to grip it because it was thicker. So maybe that's why you don't have to fashion it and do anything with it. So therefore, says the Gemara, that's also no raya that this Mishnah is faulty. So we go back to square one. Why do Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish say that ain't a Mishnah? Everything Gemara, it's not because there was an inconsistency internally. Elamishom, the Mesaimi bo Davkani, because the Davkani means the big dikonim, those that are very, very precise and meticulous in their textual readings and renditions, they would go and add to the end of the Mishnah, Zu divrei Rab Shimon. These are the words of Reb Shimon. What the Gemara means to say is, it's not that Reb Yochanan Reish Lakish said, ain a Mishnah, and therefore delete it. What they were saying, it's not a Stam Mishnah. Why is it not a Stam Mishnah? Because in their Mishnayos, they apparently had the very first editions of the Art Scroll Mishnayos, and there it said in brackets, add the word Zu Divrei Reb Shimon. Oh, if it's Reb Shimon, it's no longer a Stam Mishnah. If it's Stam Mishnah, then the whole kasha that Reb Nochem asked to Reb Avo falls away.
The question is, why didn't they mention Hamar Tarvayu that they have this Masorah that's Divrei Reb Shimon?
In other words, it would have been much easier for us, and we could have skipped the last 15 lines asking about these internal inconsistencies, had they said Eina Mishnah, meaning Eina Stam Mishnah, but it goes according to Reb Shimon. You have a point. Apparently, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish were not considered to be Davkanis, and so therefore they said, Rabbi Yisai, we're telling you, it's not a Stam Mishnah. Whose Mishnah is it? They were silent about that. And then the later Davkanim, they were able to go and say, remember, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish said, it's not a Stam Mishnah. You know why? Because it's missing these magic words, Zu Divrei Reb Shimon. Anyway, it could be that Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish did in fact add Zud Divrei Reb Shimon, but over the years, people left out or they forgot those words. In other words, after all, they didn't have printed Shasim in those days. And even then, people didn't, it was frowned upon to go and write Divrei Torah on a Dvar in the Torah Shebal Peh, to go and write it down. And so therefore, the Talmidim would only write short little notes. And from time to time, the Gemara refers to these little notes, which were all very cryptic. So they didn't write down the reason why it's not a Stam Mishnah is because of the fact that it's due to Reb Shimon. They just said, oh, Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish said, forget about this Mishnah. And we, those that read the notes, would immediately, oh, I know why. Not that there's no Mishnah at all. It's just not a Stam Mishnah. So they didn't write Barichas, so it was very succinct. Dr. White. Okay, so now that we've concluded this whole beautiful shtick about Stam Mishnah and about prices, we go back to the discussion of yesterday about getting married within 3 months after a woman was either Chas V'Shalom divorced or she became a widow. You gotta wait 3 months. And we said in the Mishnah, at least according to Tanna Kamma, Sai for Eirusin, Sai for Nisuin. Eirusin, as you all means, just what they call in English a betrothal. It's not a consummated marriage. Nisun, of course, is a consummated marriage. Our Mishnah, the Tanna Kamma, says, loy plug, across the board, women should not go and marry either Eidusin or Nisun for 3 months. Now, the question is, how precise are the 3 months? And now we're going to have a bit of a dispute. Sholach Reb Chiya bar Abin Ma'arisin Toich Gimel. Within 3 months, they are allowed to go and engage in Eidusin. But it doesn't say how much betoich Gimel. The Gemara is going to explain that momentarily. And this is halacha lemaisa. This is not just theoretical that Reb Chiya bar Avin said this is the way it should be, but this is way halacha lemaisa. That's people were noheg like that. This is what Reb Loza taught us, that rubay shel rishon v'rubay shel shlishi v'emtzoi sholeh. You don't need 90 days. What you need is roiv of the first month. Presumably that would be 16 days. A full second month, which would be 30 days. Roiv of the third month, which would be another 16 days. So if you add the 16 and the 16, 32 together with 30, is 62. All you need, therefore, would be into the third month. You don't need 90 days. 2 months and 2 days would already be sufficient. That's what he meant when he said, Toich Gimel. Ameimer Sharli Oris Biyom Tishim. Ameimer wasn't so makel to say 62 days. He said, on the 90th day, you don't have to wait until the 91st day. The 90th day is enough. Now remember, we're talking about Eirusin over here. And because we're talking about Eirusin, the Gemara holds that although the Chachamim made a takana, then in all cases, we should wait 90 days or 3 months. But the Iker, of course, is Nisuin, that we're afraid that this young lady is going to consummate her marriage with her new husband, and it could be that she was already pregnant from before. She's going to live with the new husband, and I'm afraid maybe she's going to become pregnant from the new husband, and I won't know, is it from the first husband, is it from the second husband, and then we might have all different potential problems of yichus, like the Gemara spelled out yesterday. Anyway, but that's by nisuin. If they're only engaging in eirusin, it's like, if you will, an engagement that we have today, and in fact, I believe in Eretz Yisrael, they call an engagement an Eirusin. It's not really Eirusin because engagement is just, you know, a commitment, but it's certainly not binding like a marriage, a real Eirusin. You have to have a get. If Chas V'Shalom, the Chos and Kala fall out of each other's favor. Anyway, so Ameimer said, Yoim Tishim, don't wait 91. 90th day is enough. Only Rav Asher Ameimer, V'Rav Shmuel Yamer Tovayim, Tzrichel Hamtin Gimel Chadoshim, Chutz, Miyoim Shemes boy, v'chutz miyoim shenis arsa boy. No, it's not partial 90, it's a ganze 90. arguably 92 days. The day that Chas HaShalom, the person passed away, or that he gave a get, would be one day. Then you have to go and count full 90 days. And then after that, only the next day could you engage in Eris. So obviously that's different than what we just said. Here, a Maimer did it already in the 90th day. Everything more answers. A Maimer, hu l'inyan meinekes itmar. No. You misquoted Rav and Shmuel. It's true that Rav and Shmuel said that it's the time period chutz miyoyim shemeis and chutz miyoyim shenes arsa. But they weren't talking about our situation. They were talking about a different situation. And yimeinekes itmar. Rav and Shmuel yamat shavai. Tzricha lahamdin. Chof dal et chodesh chutz miyoyim shenolid boi v'chutz miyoyim shenes arsa boi. If you remember, we had the Gemara yesterday and already Gemara before that if a person wants to marry a young lady who is already a menekes, in other words, she is nursing a child, and she had this child obviously from an earlier husband who either divorced her or chas v'sholem passed away, or divorcing also chas v'sholem, and now she's remarrying, she should not remarry within the 24 months from the time that she began nursing or from the time that the child was born. What's the reason for that? Because in the good old days, women used to go and nurse up to 2 years, and then they would wean the child off of nursing. And the concern is that if the woman were to become pregnant, then she would not have enough blood in her system, both to support a new fetus and to transform the blood into milk for the nursing baby. That being the case, don't marry within the 24 months from the day of Leda. About that, said Rav and Shmuel, it's not only 24 months. It's chutz miyoyim shenoyved boy, chutz miyoyim shenes arsa boy. It's 2 years plus 2 days, the day that the child was born and the day that that they're going to do the eris. Okay, so that's what, but we weren't talking about the 3 months. So therefore, a memer says Rav Ashi, not a kash only. Someone made a sudas erisin, a ganza party, the kum the erisin, on the 90th day. And Rava came in and he said, Rabbi, there's no erisin today. Everybody can go home. Take with you one of the two of the flowers. But party is over. You got to wait until tomorrow. Says Yimara, hahi sudas nisun haven. That wasn't the case of an erisin. That was nisun. By nisun of Ravi, you have to wait a full 90 days because nisun is where the principal concern lies, that you're afraid that chas v'sholem, that the child, that this woman is already pregnant from before, and now there'll be a big mix-up and confusion whether or not the child's from the first marriage or from the second marriage. Okay, all of this is a very nice discussion back and forth. What's the halacha? The hilchasa tzricha lahamtin chof dalet chodesh chutz miyoyim shenolid boy v'chutz miyoyim shenes arsa boy, o tzricha lahamtin gimel chadoshim chutz miyoyim shenes boy v'chutz miyoyim shenes arsa boy. So Gemara says that you have to be machmer in both cases, both in a regular erisin case, 3 months after the previous husband passed away or gave a get, as well as 24 months after a woman gives birth to a baby and she starts nursing. In both cases, it's 3 months plus the 2 days and the 24 months plus the 2 days.
I apologize for bringing up something which I'm sure was covered in the days that I missed, but isn't the woman named Al Nidata? If she says my cycle, isn't that sufficient evidence that she is not pregnant?
So this in fact was covered. I don't know whether Barry or Brother Shai or someone else asked the question. While you're certainly correct that in general most women that are pregnant and or nursing, they typically do not see their normal menstrual cycles. This, however, is not foolproof. And in fact, from time to time, you'll have women that are already pregnant 3 or 4 months, and then they go to the doctor, and the doctor says, did you know that you're pregnant? I didn't even know. I had I saw blood, 2 weeks ago. I didn't realize. So there is I don't know what the percentages are, but there's certainly women that continue seeing their cycle every month, even though they are already pregnant. And same thing applies to nursing mummies. Although most nursing mummies do not become pregnant, because their blood has been transformed into milk, it is not a concrete, effective contraceptive, because many women, again, I don't know the percentages, but many women that are nursing, nevertheless, if they have relations with their husband, they become pregnant again. So none of this is foolproof. Getting back to our Gemara, chutz min almana. So we said in our Mishnah that an almana. Let's go back to the lashon haMishnah that was on the bottom of nem aleph amid aleph. We had in the end of the Mishnah that Tanikama said that kol hanoshim lo yisarsu v'lo yinasu until after 3 months are over. However, Yehuda said hanesuos yisarsu. This is mem aleph amid aleph. Two lines from the bottom of the Amid. Rabbi Yehuda says, Hanesuais, those that had full-fledged Nisuin are allowed to engage in Eirusin, because again, Eirusin implies that there will not be a Bia, so there's nothing to be concerned about. You're just going to get a ring, or you're just going to get a shtar garnished. So it's ours. Varusais, and those that were previously married only through Eirusin, Yanasu, no problem. You don't have to wait the 3 months. Rabbi Yossi skipped to the next line. Rabbi Yossi, Omer, kol hanoshim yisarsu. I agree with what Rabbi Yehuda said, that all the women, even those that were nisuin, that had a full-fledged consummated marriage, can engage in erusin. One exception, chutz min almana mino ibul, that if the woman terminated the first marriage because she became a widow, her husband passed away, then she doesn't have to wait 3 months, but she's got to wait at least 30 days shloishim if she wants to go and be Miss Aris. So Rabbi Yossi is adding now to the equation by Erisin, you got to wait 30 days. Back to Mem Gimel Omer Aleph. Omer of Chizda Kal V'choymer. I don't understand what the Mishnah is saying. I don't understand what Rabbi Yossi is saying. V'choy have a Kal V'choymer. Umar v'mokim she'osel l'chabes mutali oreis. In the case of Tisha B'Av, which of course is availus for the entire nation because of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. What's the halacha? Also the chabes, during the week before Tisha B'Av, that's what we call the Shavua Shechalboi, during that week you're no longer allowed to do laundry. As we all know, we Ashkenazim are typically machmir already from Rish Chodesh. The Sfardim, however, retain this minig of the Shavua Shechalboi. So during that week you're not allowed to do any laundering. But mutli aris, you're allowed to have an erusin. You're allowed to go and marry. Again, not marry nisuin, but marry erusin. That's not a problem. Mokab, how do I know that that's talocha? We're going to see that in another line in Mishnah Masechtas Tanis, which we learned not too long ago. Mokab shemutal lechabes, here in the case of the woman that is nebuchan almona because her husband passed away, after the first week, after Shiva, you're allowed to do laundry. Oh, so ain't it din shemutli aris? So then certainly you should be able to have erusin after the first week. Why does it say in our Mishnah you have to go wait a whole shloishim? You should only have to wait for Shiva. Because ma'adach legabi tishba, where we have a velus. You're not allowed to do kibbutz those few days right before tishba, but you're allowed to go and have erusin. Here, where after the Shiva, you're allowed to do kibbutz, and Mali should be able to do erusin. Mahi, where do we find this halacha of Rav Chisda? Now we learned in the Mishnah, Masechtas Tanis. Shabbos Shechol Tisha B'Av B'yot Mesoicha, the week of Tisha B'Av. Also, L'Saper L'Chabetz, you're not allowed to do Tisporis. Saper means to take haircuts, etc. U'L'Chabetz, and to do laundry. U'B'Chamishi, if it's already Thursday, Mutim and May cover the Shabbos. For instance, if Tisha B'Av falls out on Friday, and now we have Thursday, the day before, then because of Kavodah Shabbos, you're allowed to go and do Sipur and Kibbutz. Okay, Mitanya. The Braisa adds an addendum to the Mishnah. The Koinim Azman Azeh, before that time, and the Havim in the Koinim Azman Azeh means before Tisha B'Av. During the week, the Shavuot Shechalboi, Ha'am Mematim, Yiskeim, Elisa V'Litayim, people decrease and diminish the amount of work that they do. They start taking, they don't work the long hours and the intensive hours that they typically do. And me live noise, building, lintoya, and planting. But arisin, but they're allowed to do erisin. Avaloi koinsin, but not nisuin. Vein oisin sudas erisin. Even though the latter go and do erisin, you don't make a big erisin party. So what do I see from the combination of the Mishnah and the Brice? That the days before Tisha B'Av, it's Osur, the Kibbutz, but the Brice says, you're allowed to have Erisin. So by Unz, where we say that it's Mutter B'Kibbutz, meaning right after the Shiva, the widow is allowed to go and do Kvisa, allowed to go and do laundry, then she certainly should be able to do Erisin. So how did the Rabbi Yossi say in the Mishnah that you cannot do Eidusin. Is Rabbi Yossi disagreeing with the Mishnah in Masechtas Taanis? After the Gemara Mishka Kasha, Kitanya he koidim de koidim. When it said in that Braisa, the Tanya, koidim hazman hazeh, we explain that koidim hazman means during the week, the Shavu Shechal Boy, the days before Tisha B'Av. No. It means the week before the week Shechal Boy Tisha B'Av, the prior week. Oh, the prior week, that's Ma'arisin. But in the week of Tisha B'Av itself, if Tisha B'Av comes out, Echvai is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever, that week, Asur, even Be'erisin. So no cash. Omer Rav says, the koidim nami kal v'chaymer. I can continue the kal v'chaymer of Rav Chisda, of my shver, says Rava, even as koidim the koidim. What's the kasha? Umaba makim she'asa lisa v'lita mutali ares. Go back to that brisa again. The brisa says koidim hazman hazeh, which you're now interpreting to mean the week before the shvu shechalbar. What do we say? Omnim matim biskeim lisa v'lita. They decrease the amount of business that they're doing. But mutali ares, you'll have to do erisin. Makim shemutal lisa v'lita. As soon as the Shiva is over, the widow and any other mourners, any other Avelim, they're allowed to go and do business. And in the Shemutaliyaris, the Chavad and Avada, you're allowed to go and do Eirisin. Why does the Mishnah say you have to wait a full 30 days? Right after the 7 days, boom, just like you're allowed to do business, you should certainly be allowed to go and do Eirisin. And for the Gemara, you know, you have a very good point. And because this point is so strong, we're going to have to amend the Lashon of the Mishnah. Until now, when we quoted the Mishnah, we said on the bottom of Nem Aleph Amid Aleph, Rabbi Yossi Oimer Kol Anoshim Yisarsu, all women, even those which are Nesuais, they're allowed to engage in Eirusin. Chutz min Almana. No. Moitem Rabbi Yossi Oimer Kol Anoshim Yisarsu, Ela Eimer Kol Anoshim Yinasu. All the women, even the Nesuais, those that previously had Nisuin, consummated marriage, they're allowed to consummate their marriages as well within the 3 month period. You do not have to wait 3 months. The only thing you have to wait is that if she's chas shalom, a widow, you got to wait 30 days for avelus. But right after the 30 days, she can marry. And for that matter, a lady who's a grusha, if she's never a divorcee, she can marry immediately. She doesn't have to wait. Right, Gemara, the last lay. The Rabbi Yossi Lahavchin, doesn't he hold of this golden rule that we've been speaking about for the last few days? That anytime a marriage terminates, you always have to wait 3 months. Lahavchin ben zera lezera, so that if and when she becomes pregnant and she has a child, to be able to verify and certify whether this is a child from the first marriage or a child from the second marriage. Does Rabbi Yossi not agree with this? And for the Gemara, Ibo Yesema, you have to add the words Ibo Yesema, says the Bach. Less play. Yeah, in the Hanami, Itaka doesn't hold of this. Avada, Rabbi Yossi shares the concern that a woman, we don't want that there should be a child, that we don't know whether it's from the first marriage or the second marriage. But that concern did not rise to the level where the Chachamim felt that they had to make a Gezeira or Takana and say, Rabbi Yossi, women are not allowed to marry for the 90 days after the husband's passed away or after the giver get. If they did marry within the 90 days, oy vai vai, if she becomes pregnant immediately, we'll have to be nervous and concerned whether this child is from the first marriage or second marriage. But they were not misakin, at least according to this teretz. And apparently the reason why they were not misakin is because they felt this was not a real concern of Klal Yisrael. This was not a daily event that they had to be concerned about. Presumably, most women that just got divorced or just became widows, they don't marry immediately anyway. They have to probably first go to a therapist for a couple of weeks or whatever to relieve them of their anxiety and whatever happened in the history. And they have to find the shidduch. You know, it's not a 1, 2, 3 type of thing. Look at the singles crisis that we have today, that it takes women sometimes 20 or 30 years to find a spouse. So just because her husband passed away or she just got a get, likelihood of her immediately rushing into another marriage, it's not that, it's apparently that wasn't a critical concern, at least according to the first teretz of the Gemara. No, the truth of the matter is Avada, Rabbi Yossi is as concerned as everybody else is. The Eima, instead, let's go and change the Lashon HaMishnah, or explain the Lashon HaMishnah. Rabbi Yosi Omer kol arusois gerushois yinasu. Oh, so it's not the women that had previously nisuin can go and engage now in nisuin. It's only the arusois that only had erusin. Says Rabbi Yosi, since he only had erusin, if they were gerushois, if they were divorcees, as opposed to widows, you know, so then they can even have nisuin. Because they don't have to worry about lahavchen bein zera lezera, because the first marriage was never a consummated marriage. It was only erusin. Shai, you know, so. Thank you, Mari Hochi, Hein Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the same halacha as well in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda also said that all the arusas yinasu and all the nisuin yarsu. Ah, you're going to tell me that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the halacha of avelus? Says Rashi, no, everybody agrees that you cannot go and have nisuin within the shloishim. That's a dover pashit. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't disagree with that. The only time one would have a disagreement is if you only wanted to have an erusin within the shloishim. Oh, since erusin doesn't involve a consummated marriage, the way we learned until now, Rabbi Yehuda said, no problem. You're allowed to go in yisarsu. Rabbi Yosi said, no, it is a problem. But now that we're interpreting in our Mishnah, legabi nisuin, says the Gemara, oh, it could talk be a nafkimina nisua li'ares. What is the nisua li'ares? Rabbi Yehuda saw a nisua muteris li'ares. A nisua is allowed to engage in erusin, even if she is chas v'sholem, a widow, her husband passed away. You don't have to wait 30 days, because all you're doing is erusin. Rabbi Yosi saw a nisua asura li'ares. No, nisua may not go and engage in erusin. Why not? There is no havchana problem. And it's only erusin that doesn't disturb l'chayra avelus. What's the issue? Says Rashi, the issue is because once you allow a couple to go and do erusin, we have to be concerned that maybe their taiva, their yetzahara might get the best of them, and they might decide to go and do bia already without waiting for a formal nisuin. That itself will be, if you will, the nisuin. And that being the case, we say, you know what? Let's be on the safe side. A nesua should not go and do erusin for the full 3 months. So we shouldn't get into this problem because we're afraid that the erusin will lead to a nesuin within the 3 months and we'll have a problem of havchana. Okay, so that's the new pshat. Rabbi Yisrael, from here to the bottom of the Amid, we're going to go through a number of new pshatim in Rabbi Yosi because each time the Gemara is going to challenge it, and the Gemara say, you know what? Rabbi Yosi holds taka something else and another something else. So we're going to go through a number of different reiterations and possible pshatim in Rabbi Yosi. So according to this pshat now, when our Mishnah said that kol, Lashon the Mishnah was kol hanoshim yisarsu chutz min almana, the way the Gemara has changed it is now kol hanoshim yinasu chutz min almana. The Gemara asks, isn't that the same thing as Rabbi Yehuda? Says Gemara, you're right, Rabbi Yehuda agrees in that case Legabe engaging in nisuin, don't do that, but now you are velus. But the machloikis is not legabe avelus. Everybody agrees avelus is for shloishim yoim. You cannot engage in nisuin. Nisuin is a full consummated marriage. So where is the machloikis? Machloikis is whether nisuin is allowed to engage in erusin, where Rabbi Yehuda holds that yes, she can do erusin, and there's no problem of avelus because avelus only precludes nisuin, not erusin. But Rabbi Yosi says, forget about the Avelis issue. I have another issue. And that issue is Asura Liores because the Erisin could lead to Nisuin and we'll have a problem of Havchana during the 3 months. Havchana bin Mavchan bin Zer and Lezer. Frey Timara. The Sub Rabbi Yosi Nisu Asura Liores. Is that really true that Rabbi Yosi holds in Nisu is not allowed to do Erisin Votanya? Rabbi Yosi Oimer. Oh, I have a price on point. All women are allowed to go and do erusin. So before we continue on the braisa, the Gemara already will ask the kasha from this reisha. All the women can do yisarsu. Kol hanoshim sounds like even the nesuois, those that were previously married with a full-fledged marriage. Yisarsu are allowed to do erusin. We just said according to Rabbi Yosi, nesua asura le'yoreis. That's going to be the Gemara's kasha. Anyway, continuing on the braisa, that almana cannot get erusin neho ibul, become ibul shalom, how long is avelus? Shloishim yom, 30 days. Not 90 days, 30 days. Shloishim. And the braisa continues, v'kulam le'yinasu, none of them should go and engage in nisuin all the noshim that were previously nisuois should not engage in nisuin. Actually, the gimel chadashim, they should wait a full 3 months, so we shouldn't have a problem of being mavchin ben zelazer. Frank Timon Haim my kushya. What is the kasha? In other words, the Gemara started off, Vatanya Rav Yossi Oimer, I have a kasha on the last interpretation of Rav Yossi Nesua, Asur Li'ones, Li'ores. The Brisa says Fakert. What is the Brisa say Fakert? Even in the Tani, because the Brisa starts off Rav Yossi Oimer, Kol Anoshim Yis Arsu. That means that even the Nesuas are allowed to engage in Eris, except for the Almanas. But otherwise, the Nesuas are allowed to engage in Eris. And you just finished saying that Rav Yossi holds the Nesuas as Asur Li'ores. If you remember, the Lashon HaMishnah was also the same. Back on Mem Aleph, it said, Kol Anoshim Yis'arsu, except for Almana. And because of the kashas that we asked before, we said, it doesn't mean Kol Anoshim Yis'arsu, it really means Kol Anoshim Yinasu. You're allowed to engage in Nisuin, except for an Almana. So Freit Yimara, so that we can give the same pshat in the Braisa too. When it says kol anoshim yisarsu, it means kol anoshim yinasu, nishka yisarsu. So you can learn. Hi, my kushet. Ilim dikon Rav Yossi, I'm a kol anoshim yisarsu. Mili mas nisim be'ukim nabarusois, gerushois, yinasu. We don't mean noshim entering into erusin. We mean women that already had erusin, or that erusin terminated never because of a get or because of a death in the family. The husband never passed away. So what did we say? Barusis, gerushois, yinasu. They're allowed to have nisun. It's only the arusois almanois that have to wait for 30 days. Ah, so ibazoi, just like we for our Mishnah, hochanami will end for the Brice also call arusois, kurushois, yenasa. So the there's no kasha from the Brice. Says, you know, you're right. Elmi Sefer. We're going to bring the kasha was from the Sefer of that Brice. What did it say in the Sefer? The kulan lo yenasu, archiu lehen, gimul chadoshim, that none of them should engage in nisuin until they wait 3 months. Izach mashma in tzuvi hudaloi, that they're not allowed to do nisuin lo yinas in tzuvi is the lashon nisuin ha isru say shapedami, but erusin they're allowed to do within the 3 months. But you just said that according to Rabbi Yossi that no, that kol anoshim that sov Rabbi Yossi nisua asura le'ores, and nisua should not engage in even Erison for the 3 months, because I'm afraid that the Erison will lead, unfortunately, to a taiva, and they're going to make me suin within the 3 months. It's a shver from the price. You know what? We have to go and change the lashon a little bit, and we're going to have to go and learn the following. The girsa in the price should be Rabbi Yossi Oimer Kol Arusos Gerushos Yenasu Chutz Min Almanim Neyo Ibel. Arusos who are Gerushos are allowed to engage in nisuin. Except for an almanam ne'ibel. The Loshen Brice is a little bit repetitive, because once you say kolarusa is kurushois, you don't have to say chutz min almana. But just trying to emphasize the difference between an arusa who's an arusa that her marriage terminated because of the get. She's allowed to go and do nisuin immediately. She doesn't have to wait 3 months, because after all, she was only an arusa until now. She's not pregnant. She never had zera from the first marriage, so she can do nisuin. Except for the man of Ne'ibel. Well, then you got to go and wait for this man of Avelis. Wait 30 days. Unesuas lo yisarsu, and Nesuas should not engage in Erison. Until you wait a full 3 months, 90 days. Ah, and therefore, this would now be consistent with what we learned before, that Rabbi Yossi holds Nesua Asura Le'ores, even for a full 90 days. Why? Because we're afraid that the erusin might lead to nisuin within the 90 days, and a nisuin is not allowed to do nisuin in the 90 days because lehavchin bein zera lizer. Okay, so far.
Excuse me, it's inconsistent. In some points, we're saying the narusa is what might lead to nisuin, the consummation of the connection through Bia. Other times we're saying, no, Rusa, she's not, nothing's going to happen. It feels like the Gemara is jumping back and forth. Sometimes the Rusa means they had no intimacy, and sometimes the Rusa means, well, of course, they're going to become intimate because they're so close to nisuin, so we have to wait, make them wait 3 months. It's not consistent.
In fact, there's a major difference between the first teretz on the first line of the Gemara and then the next line, the second line. Because at the very top of the Gemara, we said that even a nesua is allowed to engage in nisuin immediately after the marriage terminated. Maximum by an almoni, you have to wait 30 days. But even nesua is allowed to go and engage in nisuin. And Rabbi Yossi held that the chum were not goizer because of lahavchin bein zera lizera. That was the first teretz at the very top. The next line, Igmar said, no, he is concerned about lahavchin bein zera lizera. And therefore he was machmer. And you do have to go and wait 90 days. Now what the Gemara is telling us is that not only Rabbi Yossi was concerned about nisuais, not doing nisuin, but nisuin shouldn't even do erisin, because I'm afraid that erisin might lead to nisuin. And therefore, got to be careful. You got to be machmer. So we're really going mikotze el hakotze, from a Rabbi Yossi that holds in the first teretz, you don't have to worry about it. The people will do the sensible thing. The chum don't have to make rules and regulations. People will know to do what they're supposed to do. If a lady is in the sewer, she should understand on her own. This is such an unusual case that she's going to go and immediately have an nisuin within the 90 days. I'm not concerned that I have to be goyzer. Avada, if it turns out that she does engage in nisuin within the 90 days, that's foolishness on her part because it could lead to major issues. Correct. But they weren't goyzer. According to Iboyesema, not only were they goyzer, nisuin should not engage in nisuin, nisuin shouldn't even engage in erisin. Why? Because I'm afraid that erisin will lead to nisuin. This is Rabbi Yehuda at this point, I mean, Rabbi Yossi at this point. Rabbi Yehuda disagreed because Rabbi Yehuda said, no, kol ha nisuais yis arsu, the kol ha arusais yin asu. So we see that there's a machloikin between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. And at this point in the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi is a great machmir, and he holds that you shouldn't even engage in erisin because it might lead to trouble. But the Gemara is not finished yet. We're still going to have another couple of reiterations of Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says now, weiter. Are we up to Omer Rava? Tritz ve'emahachi? No, we said that already. Good. So we're up to now. V'almana mina erisin mi isla ibul. The way we've interpreted now Rabbi Yossi, the way Rava has reinterpreted, he said that kol arusas, look back at Omer Rava, tritz ve'emahachi, about halfway down the Amid, Rabbi Yossi Omer kol arusois gerushois inasu, but not an almana. So if you have an arusa who was an almana from her arus, his avelus, don't get married for 30 days. After all, erusin is considered to be, so if you will, a flimsy marriage. It requires a get, but it's not, since they did not engage in intimacy, they never had a bia, they never had a full-fledged nisuin, there are no hilchos avelus which attach to an orus va'arusa. It's similar in concept to today's erisin, which again in Eretz Yisrael, they use the term erisin for meaning for engagement. If a boy and a girl become engaged, and chas v'sholem, one of the two passes away, nebuch, pre the marriage, everybody agrees there's no din avelus. Avada the chosin and or the kala will be brokenhearted, but there's no din of avelus. So the Gemara is saying the same thing applies to real erisin, where the chosin gave the kala a marriage ring, hariat mukudeshesli, there's real kiddushin, but there was no nisuin. The Gemara says no din of avelus. How do I know? V'atani Reb Chiya bar Ami, ishto yarusa, loy oinein v'loy metamala, v'chein hi loy oinenes v'loy metamaloi. We had this price earlier on in our Gemara, where we're talking about an Ishtar Arusa, there was only Erusin. Loi Oinein, if the husband, for instance, happens to be a Koyin, there is no din of Aninus. What normally would be the din of Aninus, for instance, by a Koyin? It says, L'moshel in the Torah, L'yachalti v'oinim imenu, that a Koyin who is an Oinein is not allowed to eat Maser Shaini. L'yachalti v'oinim imenu, the same thing also applies to Kachin. He's allowed to eat Truma, but he's not allowed to go and eat Masa Sheni and Kachem. However, if the person that passed away was Ishtar Arusa, he can eat Masa Sheni, he can go and eat Kachem, no problem. And there's no din of being Metam. In other words, a Kohen is allowed to Kim Lish Erei HaKorev Elov, he's allowed to be Metam to his wife, if Chas V'Shalom, the wife passes away, even though he's a Kohen. But if the wife was a wife with a small W, just an arusa, the halacha is he's not allowed to metame to her. Why? Because Avelus doesn't apply just by Eris. V'chein hi, and the same thing is in reverse. Loi oinen, she's not an oinen if her husband passed away, and she was, for instance, a bas koyin, so the din of anidus doesn't apply to her. V'loi metame loi, and there's no reason for her to be metame to him. Remember, we already asked this kasha when we quoted this price already back on Daf Chav Tes. What do you mean, loi metame loi? There's no dinim of tuma with tahara of kroyvim or of a mess legabi women, the penois kahuna, only by a kohen. So Rashi already said then, Rashi says one of the two terutim over here, loi metame loi, she's not required to be misasig by. In other words, normally a husband and a wife, if chas v'shalom one of them passes away, the remaining, the surviving spouse has to be concerned. Chevra Kadisha, burial, shrouds, this, that, and the other thing. It's not my job. You don't have to worry about it if they were still Oris Varusa. Remember, Oris Varusa don't live together. Oris remains in his father's home. The Arusa lives in her father's home. So it's like an engagement of sorts. And therefore, no din of tum. Anyway, what do I see from this? And the Brisa continues on. Mesa ain't a Yarsha. If she dies, the chosin, the Oris, doesn't yashin her. Meis who, if he died, goyvik suvasa, she does receive her ksuba. And Rashi says, only in a case where they wrote a ksuba min erisin, because this was not automatic. When we get to Mesechus Ksubas, we'll see that every nisuan automatically had a ksuba, like we have today under the chuppah. But if it was only erisin, ksuba was voluntary. That was something that they either negotiated or didn't negotiate, but that was not automatic. Here there was a ksuba, so therefore she does collect a ksuba. So bottom line is, what do I see from this? That there is no Avelis Be'erisin. So why'd you tell me Pshat in the Mishnah and in the Braisa that it's talking about Kolarusais, Almonois, Loyanasu, because of the Avelis? If they're just Arusais, it's not an issue. Erisin, there's no din of Avelis. Ella says, Yigmar, you're right. Tanoi, we're going to go back to our original Kasha. What was the original Kasha? Back on the Omer Aleph, we brought the Mishnah with the Braisa that said, although you cannot have kibbutz during the week of Shavuot Shechal by Tisha B'Av, but you're allowed to do Erisin, as well as the week before Koidim to Koidim, you're allowed to do Erisin. And then you remember that Rav Chizden and Rava asked the Kasha with the Kal V'Chaim. Says, well, the whole Kal V'Chaim is based on that Mishnah and that Brais and the Amid Aleph, that what, that you're allowed to engage in Erisin before Tisha B'Av, during the week Shavuot Shechal by. So Zimor, it's Tanoi. So the Machloik is Tanoi. In the Sanya, we have a Braisa. This is from Rish Chodesh during the 9 days. They, in fact, did not have Erisin. And Melisa, and of course, they didn't have Nisuin. Shabbos, Shechol, Tisha B'Av, Nisoicha, the week of Tisha B'Av, that's Shavuot Shechal Bei, also the Sabbath, the Chabes, and then the parentheses, Yosel, the Ores. The Yishayim says they call a chodesh aser the entire month. Question is, does it mean the month meaning prior to Tisha B'Av or even including post Tisha B'Av? Anyway, the Gemara talks about in Masechtas Tanis. But in the meantime, what do I see from this Braisa? It says in the Braisa that even from Rish Chodesh aser mili aris, you're not allowed to go and do erisin. Why? Because of the avelis that we have after the base of English. Okay, so that's consistent with Rabbi Yosi. The Rabbi Yosi also says it's asur li'ares. Why? Because you're in a period of avelis. You got to wait until after the 30 days. So l'chayra, the kasha nishka kasha, you asked the kasha for the Mishnah, the Brais and the Amid Aleph. Rabbi Yosi holds like this Brais here on the Amid Beis, that erisin is prohibited because of avelis of the base of Midrash. Maskul Ravashi, mi ma'idah li'ares li'ares mamish tilma le'mebed suras erisin hu di'as. Ha'li'ares ha'ped domi. Maybe the word when it says over here, osli aris, they don't mean just the aris. Because aris, if you will, is almost a private affair. All you have to do is just give the ring. Presumably you have to aid them, but that's it. Apparently they didn't normally, or it wasn't required to go and make a party. Only by nisuin they made a gan tzachasin out of it. And so therefore, arisin perhaps is taka mutter. It's the sudasa arisin which is osir. And maybe that's what the brisa means. Why does Rav Ashi go and strain himself and say that the Oris is referring to the Sudas Erisin, but Erisin is Mutter, because this distinction, if you remember, was already made on the Amid Aleph. If you go back to the Amid Aleph, 6 lines from the bottom, the Braisa said, Uma Arisin, avaloi koinsin, vein oisin suras edersin. You're allowed to do edersin koidim hazman hazeh, koidim, koidim de koidim, you're allowed to do edersin, but not the suras edersin. So therefore Rav Ashi says, I don't want to make a machlekes for naught, kitanoi. Maybe the Bryce and the Yomid Aleph and the Bryce and the Yomid Beis are totally consistent that they both hold Eresen as Mutter and Sunas Eresen, which is Osir. And if that's the case, then we're back to square one, Shver in our Mishnah, which our Mishnah says that you are not allowed to engage in Eresen during the Shloshim. Why? Because of Avelis. Here we see in the Bryce and the Yomid Aleph and the Bryce and the Yomid Beis, you're allowed to do Eresen, just as Sunas Eresen is what is problematic. So Timura, Ihochi, if that's the way you're going to learn this price, right after the word le'oris, it said, umelisa. Are you going to say, belisa ulta linase? Nami the mebetsudas nisunu diaser. Halisa shaper dami. Are you going to tell me that in the week, the shvusha chalboy tishabab, you're allowed to have a full-fledged marriage and he's suing? And nobody in his right mind would ever suggest that. That's a vada osir. So just like that Lisa means real nisuin, not the sudas nisuin, so the oris ulta means the erisin and not the sudas erisin. So I don't understand, Rav Ashi, where you're coming from with this pshat. Says the Imar Hachi Hashi. No, there's a major difference between erisin and nisuin. Bishloim and nisuin, b'loi suda, ikka simcha, nisuin without a suda, there is simcha. Why? The nisuin are husband and wife, the oris and arusa, now consummating the marriage. They're going to, for the first time, live together in the same house. They're going to be mesiache. They're going to have intimacy. Does that give all the simcha, even without making a suda? El eris and b'loi suda, mika simcha. The erisin is, if you will, almost a formality. You go and give the ring, you go and give a shtar. Okay, it's taka true, they're now married. And you have to have a get chas v'sholem if there's a falling out. But it certainly doesn't rise to the level of ariel simcha, because apparently people did erisin without a major party. Just like years ago, when a boy and a girl got engaged, you didn't have this million man march where they go and spend millions of dollars on a vart. They don't even make a tnoim anymore. It's all just another opportunity of enriching the musicians and the caterers and the hall owners and things of that nature. Chas v'shalom, I don't want to take away from their panosa. Gesundheit. Ich verginze alle der panosa. But it wasn't like we have today, where all you're missing is just a canopy and an open sky, giving the ring, and you can have a chasen at the time of the eris, and you don't need this a second marriage later on. Anyway, so lemaisa, we see that there's a difference between a sudas erisin and a regular erisin, but we're back to square one. And that is both the Bryce and the Amud Aleph. And the way we've interpreted the Bryce and the Amud Beis, they're both on the same page. That what? That you're allowed to do erisin in the Shvuah Shechalboi, just don't do the sudas erisin. But in erisin, you're allowed to do the Shvuah Shechalboi, even though it's avelus. And here in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi says, because of avelus, you should wait until after Shloshim. If you're just doing erisin, you don't have to wait until after Shloshim. Just like by Tisha B'Av, you have avelus, and we don't wait. We allow for erisin. Elam Ravashi really cannot compare the two avelus. Shani avelus chadoshim avelus yishana, shani avelus derav mi avelus deyachid. Yes, it's true that we're all in mourning when it comes to the time of Tisha B'Av, and we're mourning if chas v'shalom a private individual who's close to us passes away. Avad it's avelus. Avad everybody's in mourning. But the question is the mourning the same? And the Gemara tells us, if you want human psychology or human emotions, when you're talking about the Avelis and the Beis Hamikdash, even though the Beis Hamikdash is very, very near and dear to our hearts, and that's why we have Tisha B'Av that we sit on the ground, etc. But after everything is said and done, it's still not like a fresh wound of Avelis Chadasha if Chas V'Shalom you have and Oris Varusa, even though there was no full-fledged Nisuin, but nevertheless, both of them were looking forward. The date had already been sent. The invitations had already been made out, had already been sent in the mail, etc., etc. So therefore, if Chas V'Shalom, they want to go and engage now and do, they were Arusas until now. Now they want to engage in Nisuin, says the Gemara, wait until after the 30 days. There is Avelis even by Erisin. At least it's an emotional Avelis. Masha Enkein, the Avelis that we're talking, and that Avelis would even prevent us from doing and Erisin during the 30 days. Because after all, it's a Zman of Avelis. Mashenkin, Avelis of Tishabav, the Avelis of the Beis HaMikdash, that's an Avelis Yishana, that's already about close to 2,000 years ago, as well as that's an Avelis to Rabbim. It's Avelis for Klal Yisrael in general, as opposed to a private, personal type of Avelis. So therefore, if you will, the Chacham were slightly more makel, and they said, yes, you can engage in Erisin, not as soon as Erisin, you can engage in Erisin during the Shvur Shechalboi, and certainly Koidim de Koidim. Mashenken, if you're talking about, you want to just do an Erisin, but Nebuch, your spouse, passed away, wait 30 days, don't engage in Erisin because of the personal pain and anguish that you feel because Nebuch, the Harus Erisin spouse, Nebuch has passed away. And this is where we're going to stop. Mitchum, tomorrow we're going to continue on a Simcha Dika level, not end off with Avelis. And therefore, Atam Hadveikim, Hashem Alekeichem, Chayim Kolchem Hayam. Now I'm expecting Mitchum to be able to give the, to share with you the share at 8:30. However, there could be a problem. There could be a fly in the ointment because our family is traveling to Connecticut overnight. We're going to be staying there overnight for a simchas chol hamoed with all the kinderlach and the einiklach. So the only minyan in town over there is at 7 o'clock. Hopefully it ends by 8:15. I'll be able to be back in the hotel by 8:30. Hopefully it will work out. But you never know. Things may be problematic. If there's a problem, I will email all of you as early as possible. But the Mitzvah Shem schedule is also 8:30. Look forward. Have a wonderful chol hamoed. Mo'adim l'simcha. I get moed to one and all.
As long as the chassan and kala are on the same daf.
I'm sorry, once again?
As long as the chassan and kala are on the same daf.
On the same daf, as opposed to the same page. Shkoyach, Shelly, I love it. Have a wonderful moyed. How is your back feeling? How are your eyes doing? How's your...
Day by day. Day by day. Baruch Hashem, okay. Improvement, but it'll take a while.
Okay. So Tzang isn't your person of great vision, as we know, and we hope it's not just... the type of
thank you. Instead of having a hole, I want to be whole.
Sorry, once again.
Instead of having a hole, I want to be whole.
Ah, beautiful, beautiful. Okay. You're a holy person even when you have the hole.
Okay.
Zag Avench, be well called to.
Moedim l'simcha.
As you too. Chagim uzmanim l'sason.